Hey, we welcome back to the program. Dr. William Davis joins us today. He's written a noted author. He's a cardiologist, I do believe. Aren't you a cardiologist, doctor?
Yes, sir. We're, yes.
And noted author. He's written a number of books, but the latest, Super Gut. He wants to, I think, make your gut look better and feel better. Is that fair to say?
Well, what it's about is Americans have decimated the intestinal microbiome. That is the composition of microbes that live in the GI tract.
Yeah.
We've lost important microbes, and we've allowed unhealthy microbes to proliferate. But people don't see this as a gut problem. They experience it as migraine headaches or depression or rosacea or psoriasis or rheumatoid arthritis or coronary disease or atrial fibrillation or ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease. In other words, the disruption of the microbiome in modern people shows up as hundreds, perhaps thousands of modern health conditions. And yet the doctors aren't paying attention to this, even though the science has become quite persuasive.
So are we just figuring this out?
Yeah, this is all coming to light in the last several years. But it's also important to know that the tools for people to manage this on their own, it have become very powerful with results that are fairly astounding. People have, by restoring, for instance, lost microbes, people can smooth their skin, lose wrinkles, restore youthful muscle and strength, get deeper sleep with more vivid dreams, preserve bone density, and get this, experience a restoration of empathy and a desire for human connection and seeing the other, another person's point of view. Because one of the effects that occurs when you set your microbiome right again is you restore the hormone oxytocin, the hormone of love and empathy. It's a very dramatic effect.
So you feel better, right?
You feel better. You feel more youthful. You feel more energetic. And you like people. People say things like this to me. I like my spouse better. I like my family better. I like my coworkers better. I introduce myself to people in line for coffee at Starbucks. And I see the other person's point of view better. I might not agree with it still, but at least I understand why that person says that. So it's a restoration of a hormone that many of us have lost.
So how do we get it back? And how do we get rid of the bad one?
So we start by restoring these microbes. There's a long list of these microbes. But it's almost like going to a restaurant and getting the menu from the waitress. You don't freak out and say, I can't order all these appetizers and main dishes. You pick the appetizers, main dishes, and desserts you want. Same thing here. If you want smoother skin or reduced wrinkles, cultivate this microbe. And if you want increased muscle, cultivate this microbe. If you want accelerated recovery from heavy work or exercise, cultivate this microbe. If you want healthier children that have higher IQs and less asthma, and babies that have half as many bowel movements, thereby half as many diaper changes from mom and dad, cultivate this microbe. We cultivate the microbes in such things as yogurts and other foods, but it does not mean you can get these effects by buying something like yogurt at the grocery store. You have to do it yourself. It's fun, it's easy, and you can achieve extraordinary effects when you do this.
So you have, I know, a number of recipes in the book, things like that, ways to restore these microbes.
Restore these microbes. The flip side of this is also when you lose important microbes that served important purposes for us, it also means unhealthy microbes have proliferated and ascended in the GI tract. This is a big problem. It's called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or SIBO, S-I-B-O. And by my estimation, it affects 1 in 3 Americans. Over 100 million Americans have this problem. But they don't recognize it as a gut problem typically. They recognize it as skin rashes or joint pain or depression or neurological impairments or autoimmune diseases. And so gaining control over those proliferated unhealthy microbes, you know, microbes you've probably heard of, like E. coli and Klebsiella and Salmonella. They also cause food poisoning. But these are stool microbes that have taken over essentially your GI tract and are telling your body what to do. and expresses all these diseases. So that's another part of this equation, taking back control over all these unhealthy proliferating microbes. It's a huge effect, though. Unfortunately, most doctors have not kept up with this, and their efforts stop at such silly things as endoscopy and colonoscopy.
So we have to get rid of these on our own?
So if you have a well-informed doctor or naturopath or functional medicine doctor, and you say, hey, doc, why do you think I have psoriasis? Or why do you think I have depression that doesn't respond to antidepressants? Or why do I have ulcerative colitis and I have to take these three awful drugs that cost up to $10,000 a month and have all kinds of nasty side effects like liver failure? An informed doctor will say, you know, let's look into the composition of your intestinal microbiome and see if there's things we can do that either caused the disease in the first place or made it much worse. Unfortunately, that's a minority. Most will say things like this to you. Did you consult Dr. Google again? Or don't waste my time. There's no such thing. Even though the science has progressed, I think most of your listeners already know that the conversation on the intestinal microbiome has advanced dramatically. It's taken light years, leaps ahead in the last few years. But unfortunately, it's not trickled down to everyday people because the doctors are too hell-bent on making profit for their healthcare system.
Right. So getting your book, will that put you on the right track? Is that fair to say?
So I look at it as kind of a blueprint for achieving these kinds of things. What microbes you can replace with these wonderful, very interesting effects, and how to deal with this overgrowth issue so that you have control over obesity, the type 2 diabetes, autoimmune diseases, neurological diseases, skin rashes, and on and on and on. In fact, I would argue that every human disease needs to be reconsidered, redefined in light of the contribution of the microbiome. It's that powerful.
So tell us, I guess we go to your website and take a look at the book.
So the book is available at all major bookstores, of course, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I have a new website. One of the mistakes I made is that I had a website and Facebook page and social media for every book I wrote, which becomes unmanageable very quickly. So I just recently consolidated it, but it won't launch for another couple of weeks or so. But it'll be called DrDavisInfiniteHealth.com. In the meantime, my Wheat Belly blog, based on my Wheat Belly books, it's still very, very busy, 2,000 articles. It introduced a lot of these new ideas about SIBO, about this incredible microbe called Lactobacillus reuteri that smooths your skin and reverses a lot of the phenomena of aging. A lot of that's in that Wheat Belly blog, but we'll convert over that new website in the new year.
So what's your diet like?
So we reject a lot of conventional notions of healthy eating. So I have lots of fat, lots of saturated fat. I eat no healthy whole grains. Thousands of us, perhaps millions of us, do this. We've rejected guidelines that come from the USDA, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, American Heart Association, Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, because so much of that information is based on outdated science, very poor science, or industry's interests. They're not necessarily based on your interest, that is, an interest of being slender and healthy and free of diabetes, obesity, and heart disease, and other common health conditions. And so most of us, by the way, because we've lost several I'll remind readers who read my Wheat Belly books that one of the reasons why modern Americans cannot control themselves and their appetite is because there's a protein called gliadin in wheat. And wheat, of course, is ubiquitous. It's in bagels and breads and pastas and added to virtually all processed foods. Mm-hmm. This protein, gliadin, is broken down by the human body into small peptide fragments, not amino acids like other proteins, but small peptide fragments. And these peptide fragments, four or five amino acids long, enter the brain, and they stimulate appetite. So wheat contains its own built-in appetite stimulant. So one of the wonderful effects of going wheat and grain-free is a marked reduction in appetite. You no longer get that feeling that after you've had a big bowl of pasta and you're filled to bursting, you're still hungry. You don't have that anymore. And then amplify this by the oxytocin effect we get by restoring specifically Lactobacillus reuteri. And I show people how to do it. It's very easy. There's a lot of fun. you eat this yogurt half cup a day, and the oxytocin further drops your appetite. So that modern people are not tempted at all by that table, by that plate of donuts in the office, or by other junk foods. You're put in magnificent control over appetite and impulse. Food still tastes great, but you are in control of appetite. That's what makes it so powerful. You do not need appetite-suppressing drugs. You don't need to push the plate away. You don't need to count calories. You just need to remove the factors that have been amplifying appetite in modern Americans.
What's kind of a mainstream food that you would never consider or touch?
Well, anything. So the problem with wheat flour is that food manufacturers smartened up, pardon me, to this effect in the 1980s. They realized that agribusiness and geneticists had modified the gliadin protein of wheat such that its opioid properties, such appetite-stimulating properties, were magnified. And so if you look at process, this was not true when you and I were in our 20s and 30s. It's true now. That is, wheat flour is added to virtually all processed foods now because they stimulate appetite and increase revenues for big food companies. So not eating anything that can... So essentially, it's a rejection of many processed foods. It's eating whole foods. It's eating pork chops and eggs and green vegetables and avocados, real foods, butter, rejecting the notion that we have to cut fat. That, by the way, has never... The idea of cutting need to cut fat or saturated fat was never based on real science. It was based on very crude observations in the 1950s and 1960s. Oddly, the American Heart Association sticks by that outdated advice, even admitting that a lot of the studies that are the basis for the cut your fat, cut your saturated fat, etc., came from old science over 50 years old. The newest science tells us that is complete nonsense. In fact, their advice to cut fat, cut saturated fat, eat more healthy whole grains, and consume sugary foods and soft drinks in moderation is part of the reason we have the health problems we have today.
So the doctor has the Wheat Belly bestseller, a number of cookbooks too as well, right?
There's two cookbooks I learned long ago that if I just say eat real foods like avocados and eggs, people will say, well, what about Thanksgiving? And they'll have Thanksgiving, they'll indulge in the gravy and biscuits and the pumpkin pie and come back 14 pounds heavier and be metabolic disasters. So I learned long ago that you have to help people entertain their family, keep the kids and grandkids happy. And so it doesn't. This lifestyle does not mean no pizza, no cheesecake, no pumpkin pie. It just means have all those things, but make them with an alternative list of ingredients, widely available, just as tasty, and your family who consume grains and sugars can eat your foods. But by the way, the longer you do this, the longer you're wheat, grain, and sugar-free, and you eat conventional foods, let's say you have a slice of their apple pie, you can get sick. They can eat your apple pie or your pumpkin pie and not get sick. If you eat theirs, you'll get sick. But I think there's a real important lesson in that.
So no wheat, right?
No wheat. But then the missing piece for me in all these efforts over these past 10 years is that we did not fully address the microbiome. We did teach things like probiotics and fibers, prebiotic fibers, but we have to go further, especially in this modern age where, you know, by age 40, most of us have been exposed to 30 courses of antibiotics, 30 courses, which is like an atomic bomb in your GI tract. And, of course, all the other things we're exposed to, glyphosate in just about everything now, glyphosate, the ingredient in Roundup herbicide. Even though it was designed to be an herbicide, it's also an antibiotic. Monsanto applied for patents as an antibiotic. But it's an antibiotic of the worst kind because it kills off healthy microbes and does not kill off unhealthy microbes. And all of us, 100% of us, have detectable levels of glyphosate in our urine, blood, hair, etc. And glyphosate disrupts it. So we swim in a sea of factors that disrupt the composition of the human microbiome. And it shows as obesity, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, skin rashes, food intolerances, food allergies. And yet the doctor, all he has is topical steroid creams, antacid medication, garbage drugs, and ignores the underlying cause. It doesn't mean there's no place for drugs. It means that the role of drugs should recede dramatically once people learn that the microbiome and other factors, such as those in nutrition, are hugely powerful, impactful on your health, and that you can do this on your own without the doctor.
Okay, the book is Super Gut, Dr. William Davis, MD, who has a New York Times bestseller in Wheat Belly. And there's a lot of, I notate a lot of recipes in the Super Gut. This is a pretty big book.
Yeah, I guess it is. But, you know, backtracking all the mistakes we've made as a society takes a little bit of effort. I won't kid people. There's a little bit of effort. There's these hard-to-name microbes. And you know what? So people can join our conversations. One of the things I do every Wednesday night, for instance, is I talk to about 100 people via two-way Zoom, and we talk about these things.
Uh-huh.
And so it's very easy to do, and it's actually very fun. I have my entire neighborhood making these crazy yogurts and fermented foods.
So go to your website.
So Wheat Belly blog for the next few weeks, and then by the turn of the year, we should have my Dr. Davis InfiniteHealth.com website up and running where people can come, talk to other people, get recipes, get these new ideas, as well as some of the older concepts.
Hey, thanks, Doctor. Appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
William Davis, best-selling author, Super Gut.